Okay, today we're going to learn Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis of Maseches Sukkah. We are holding 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines into the page. Amar Mar, right at the words Amar Mar. So we had just quoted a brisa. So the Gemara is going to explain a couple of lines of the brisa that we had just quoted. Amar Mar, the brisa said that the dalad minim of the lulav, kishem shein pochas in mehem, kach ein mosif in alehem. Just like you're not allowed to take any fewer than dalad minim, you're also not allowed to take any more than dalad minim. So says Mar Pshita, of course, you're not allowed to violate bal tosef. That's a din by every single mitzvah in the Torah. So Gemara says, no, mal detema hol vam rabbi do lulav tzara cheged, mi maisi mina achrina, hailu chudei koi va hailu chudei koi, kamash mlan. I might have thought that since Rabbi Yehuda holds that a lulav needs to be bound together with the other minim, and if you don't bind it together, it's pasul. So if you're going to bring another min and not bind it together with the lulav, it's not going to be bal tosef because it's not part of the lulav bundle. It's considered to be something that stands independent, external of the lulav. So kamashmal, and that's why it has to tell me that you do violate bal tosef. Amar Mar, the Braisa also went on to say, lo matza esrog, if you cannot find an esrog, lo yavi, lo rimon, lo parish, lo devar acher, you cannot bring any other fruit to replace it. So pshita, of course you can't bring another fruit to replace it. The mitzvah is to have an esrog. So mao detema laisi kiech shotish takach taras esrog. No, I might have thought to replace it with another fruit, not because you're trying to be yotzei the mitzvah, but just so that people not forget that there is a fourth min, that there is something else that's supposed to be brought. And that's why it tells me not to do that, because zimnin denafik churbe minei zasi lemisrach, that sometimes you're going to try to solve a problem by making sure that people remember there's supposed to be a fourth min, but by taking, let's say, a rimon every year, people are going to forget what that fourth min is supposed to be, and they're going to continue to take a rimon even when esrogim are available. So now we go back to what Rava had said in the Amud that we learned yesterday. That Rava said that according to Rabbi Yehuda, an esrog has to be hadar, and only a lulav hayavesh is kosher, but an esrog hayavesh is absolutely not kosher. So tashma, Gemara says, let's bring a raya. Esrog hayashin pasul. An old esrog is pasul. Rabbi Yehuda says that an old esrog is kosher. Tiyufta, Tiyufta. Isn't this a Tiyufta on Rava? Because over here you see beferish that even an esrog, Rabbi Yehuda, does not require that it be hadar. So says Gemara, lo bai hadar. Is that true? Rabbi Yehuda does not require an esrog to be hadar. Va'anantnan. But didn't we learn in the Mishnah, hayyaro kikarti, that if an esrog is green like a leaf, Rabbi Meir Machshav, Rabbi the Posel, Rabbi Meir says Kosher, Rabbi says it's Posel, Lav Mishum Debai Hadar. Isn't that because an esrog has to be Hadar? Says, well, lo, Mishum Delo Gamar Pira. If it's green like a leek, the problem is not a problem in Hidur, it's a problem that it doesn't have a Shem Esrog yet. It hasn't fully ripened, it hasn't grown into an esrog yet. So the Gemara asks Vaiter on the Breisa, that Rabbi Huda does not require Hadar by an esrog. Tashma, Shir Esrog Katan, the minimal size of an esrog for it to be kosher, a meir omer ke egos. It just has to be the size of an egos. Rabbi Yehuda omer ke beitza. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it needs to be as large as an egg. Lav mishum debai hadar. Isn't the reason Rabbi Yehuda requires that it be as large as an egg, because he requires that it be hadar, an esrog that's smaller than an egg is not hadar? Again, it has nothing to do with Hadar. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda requires that it be that large, because when it's not yet that large, it's not even called an esrog yet. It's too small to be called an esrog. It has not yet had a Gemar Pri. Let's make a couple of main points over here. Main point number one is that you can't even add an extra min outside of the eged of the lulav. And number two, even in the absence of an esrog, we don't use another min because people will think that min is an esrog. And now we're still in the middle of discussing Rabbi Yehuda's shita, so the Gemara says, Tashma, let's bring a raya that from the Mishnah about the maximum size of an esrog to this issue of whether Rabbi Yehuda requires an esrog be hadar or not. Well, begadol, what's the maximum size of an esrog? Today, she ye'echos shnayim biyadachas, to hold two in a single hand. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that's Rabbi Yehuda's shita, that an esrog should not be larger than what you can hold two of them in one hand. Rabbi Yossi Yomar, afilu echad b'shteyadav. Rabbi Yossi says you could even be so big that you need both hands to hold one of them. My time, well, why does Rabbi Yehuda pasul in the esrog that you can't hold two in one hand? Lav mishum debay hadar, isn't it because he requires hadar? An esrog that's so big is not hadar? So Gemara says, lo, the reason of the psul is not because of hadar, it's a different reason. Kivan de'amar rabba, lulav b'yamin, ve'esrog b'smol, zim l'mechafi le'vasil apachinu, vasil v'sulei. He's concerned, practical matter. Since the halacha is that the lulav is supposed to be taken in your right hand, and the esrog is supposed to be taken in your left hand, and you might accidentally pick them up with the wrong hand, so you're going to have to shuffle them, you have to move on from one to the other, so you need enough space in your hands to be able to do that without dropping anything. So that's why he says the esrog should be small enough that you could hold two of them in one hand, meaning that you could have room to maneuver around if you accidentally picked it up with the wrong hand, but it's got nothing to do with hadar. So Gemara says, Vel Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who we said does not require that an esrog be hadar, haksiv hadar, but doesn't it say pre-eight hadar? So how do you teach the pasuk if you hold that it doesn't need to be hadar? Says Gemara, you would think that would have been the Gemara's first kasha, right? We said Rabbi Yehuda does not require an esrog to be hadar. Hello, I mean that's what it is. It's a pre-eight hadar, but for whatever reason, that was not the first kasha. So the Gemara says, now how does Rabbi Yehuda teach up hadar? What do you do with hadar? Ahu hadar beilana mishana l'shana. We teach up the word hadar not as hadar, but hadar. It is a fruit that lives in its tree from year to year. It takes a long time on the tree, not falling off of the tree, and could even last there for many years. And we see that it must be talking about an esrog. There's no other fruit that grows in such a way. But it does not mean that it has to be, that min has to be hadar. It's just identifying the min of the esrog. What is an esrog? It's the kind of fruit, and the only kind of fruit, that is dar bi'ilana, mishana l'shana. Now the Mishnah had said, actually before we get to the next point, the next part, let's make another main point over here, focusing on Rabbi Yehuda's shita. Rabbi Yehuda allows an old esrog apparently doesn't need hadar. Meaning, the fact that Rabbi Yehuda allows an old esrog, we thought an esrog hayashan, that's a raya that he does not require hadar. But then the Gemara says, Gemara tries to bring further rayas. The size and color requirements are not a raya about hadar, because that might be about gemar pri or shema yavel poslam. And hadar in the pasuk might not be about hadar, that just might mean hadar bilana mishana l'shana. So essentially, let's just try to regroup over here. We said Rabbi Yehuda does not require that an esrog be hadar, right? So we said the clearest raya that he does not require an esrog to be hadar is the fact that he allows an esrog hayashan. Then we had several rayas that maybe he does require an esrog to be hadar. He passels a green esrog. He passels a tiny esrog. He passels a gigantic esrog. So we said, no, none of those are proofs that it has to be hadar. The teeny esrog and the green esrog are simply not an esrog yet. The gigantic esrog is just a practical matter that you might passel it when you're switching hands. And then the final raya we thought that he requires hadar is that the Torah says hadar. Nah, that doesn't. It's not saying hadar. It's saying hador. It's identifying the min of the esrog. Now the Mishnah had said that a lulav that comes from a dekel from a palm tree that's shalasheira v'shalira nidachas is passel. So ask the Gemara v'shalasheira. A lulav comes from an asher tree pasul. V'amar Rava lulav shel avodah zara lo yitol vim natal kasher. Doesn't Rava say that a lulav that was used for the sake of avodah zara, for example, to sweep up in front of the avodah zara, or that its avodah was by bringing the lulav in front of the avodah zara, you're not supposed to use such a lulav? But if you did use such a lulav, it's kasher. You yotze your chiyuv, even though you're not allowed to get anah from avodah zara. But mitzvos lavle hanos nitnu, it's not called hanah. So this is a Kasha and Rava who allowed Bidyavid a lulav of Avodah Zarah from the Mishnah that passels a lulav of Avodah Zarah. Says Gemara, Hacha b'Asherah d'Moshe Askinan. Our Mishnah is talking about a lulav on an Asherah that was from the times of Moshe Rabbeinu when the Jewish people conquered Eretz Yisrael. On such an Asherah, the Torah tells us, v'Asherehem tisrafun be'esh, that you have to burn those asheras down. So since that ashera is omedes l'sreifa, it's meant to be burnt, we view it as if there is no shear of the lulav, because it's as if it's already been burnt and crumpled, and the lulav has to have a shear of dalet tfachim in order for it to be kosher, and therefore even b'diavad it's going to be possible. Deka nami, and it's clear that we're talking about an asherah de Moshe from the Mishnah, de katani dumya d'irani dachas, because it mentions in the Mishnah lulav shel asherah together with the lulav of n'irani dachas. So just like lulav of n'irani dachas ketusei mechta shirei, because n'irani dachas and everything in it has to be burnt, the lulav and asherah must also be talking about a case of ketusei mechta shirei, namely an asherah de Moshe, because any other asherah you wouldn't have such a din of kitusei mechtas shiurei. So we're going to stop there and make the last main point over here, that only an asherah de Moshe is possible because of kitusei mechtas shiurei. But a lulav from other asherah trees in Ochinami would not be possible b'diavet. So Be'ez Hashem, next time we'll pick up on the bottom of Daf, Lamed Aleph and Beis at Niktam Rosho.